Thank you, veterans. That's the title this morning, and I believe in a royal way we have said to each of you, thank you. And that's not just words, folks. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. I hope you have your Bibles and getting them ready and open them to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to read these verses together, and I'm going to be brief this morning, but I just want to share with you about the heroes of the faith. There are five of them right there in particular, four men and one woman we want to mention very briefly this morning. But I want to tell you, veterans are my heroes. My hero was my father. Many of you know that without me even saying it to you. He served in the United States Navy. My brother and I found a picture of him, and one of the only ones, matter of fact, the only picture I know I have of him in uniform. Saw that a few minutes ago. But I remember him when I was a small child coming home and telling me, of course he was now out of the service then, but he was telling me of the stories during World War II. And then I ran across a little while ago, about a couple years ago, I went searching for the ship my father was on in the Navy during World War II. It's called a Land Ship Medium. And in particular, I've got a picture of it I want to show you. Just one that the picture, it's now scrap metal per se, but it's LSM-41. And this was the picture of my dad's ship while he was in the service during World War II and the Korean conflict. And then I remember in particular my father's death in 1973. We were given this certificate presented to us by the President of the United States. It hangs in my office today. And though you can't see this one, you can see that one. And it just simply says, the United States of America honors the memory of James L. Cheek. This certificate is awarded by a grateful nation in recognition of devoted and selfless consecration to the service of our country in the armed forces of the United States. Richard Nixon, President of the United States of America. Veterans, from this old guy who missed Vietnam just about that far. I lived during the time, and most of our young people think of the lottery as something such as a gambling thing whereby you buy your ticket. We lived in the days as a kid of the lottery. We had lottery numbers for the draft, and I was, in fact, drafted. Had my car, had my papers, my greetings from Uncle Sam letter ready to go to my physical. Though I didn't ask for it, the week before I was to go to that physical during my second year of college, I received a deferment for my grade point average in college and because I was studying for the ministry. That was the only reason. But I knew where I was going, and I would go on the final days of Vietnam. So, folks, thank you for serving our country. And I know we don't forget to pray for those who are serving our country right now, all those that are in harm's way, even as we sit here. And we can be safe in this house and worship. They are protecting us. And I see J.K.'s picture, and I think of all those men, J.K., and see all that right there, and I think, wow. Who give their lives selflessly. Look at the Bible with me in Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses. It says, now faith is the reality. King James Version says substance of what is hoped for, the proof or the evidence of what is not seen. For our ancestors won God's approval by it, but by faith we understand that the universe was created by God's command so that what is seen has been made from things that are not visible. Wow, folks. Remember that word. I'm not going to go back over it before. You've heard me say it from this pulpit. The verb form is the word pistuo. It means I trust. I have faith. But there's a word there used of substance. Hypostasis or stasis in Greek. It means the guarantee, the deed, the title, the foundation, the very evidence. Faith is the reality. Not the possibility. Don't forget that. Faith is the reality of what will happen. And then it says, not only is there that foundation, that substance, there is the evidence. It means, the word there in evidence is a law term in the Greek language referring to an argument or discussion that leads to the truth. In other words, there's proof, there's verification, there's evidence. Ladies and gentlemen, in the spiritual realm, we call that conviction. So faith, what we're talking about, is the substance, the foundation, which leads to the conviction of absolute truth. You can't see Jesus physically, but faith believes in Jesus. Period. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. That's the kind of faith you men and women as veterans sitting right here in this building and all of you have. It's that kind of faith to see in the very fact that you can believe but yet haven't physically seen. Why? Because the Bible says it. End of story. That was my dad. He was Christian on the battlefield. He told of stories of his comrades who were gunned down by the enemy right beside him. And he told stories, and I can remember the only tears that I saw come out of my father's eyes is I remember him telling those gut-wrenching stories of what happened during the war and in his life. And so many of you could tell the exact same stories. But you had then and you have now that kind of heroic faith. So let me just mention the five of them real quickly, these people to you. And let me just show you their faith, because this is the faith we're talking about, and issue one challenge, and we'll close. Look with me in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11. We've already described what faith is. The first, and I want you to watch, in these five people, I'm going to use a descriptive word simply for each one to describe their faith. This is God's Hall of Fame in Hebrews chapter 11. Here we are in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain had offered to God. By faith, he was approved as a righteous man because God approves his gifts, and even though he is dead, he still speaks through his faith. How many people do you know, how many believers do you know still speak through their faith, even though they're not with us this morning? We learn from it. I don't worship my dad. I love my father. And I remember the principles and the precepts that he taught me. And during the years of raising Michael and Bethany, Connie and I tried to impart those principles as well. And I did and tried to as a dad. I learned from him even though he was in the grave, because I learned from his faith. Abel, in the first place, is the power of faith. Look at verse 4. By faith again, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Faith has the power to be counted as righteous. And no greater gift could be given to us, folks, than the incredible privileges of being counted as righteous before God. How did that happen? The very moment you intentionally invited him into your life as your Lord and your Savior. I think of Adam and Eve. They became aware of their sin, their nakedness. The very fact in the Hebrew of nakedness is a symbol of their being aware and their consciousness of sin. But God loved them even though they were sinful. And he provided, do you remember, covering clothes to cover them? Do you remember what the clothes was that God covered Adam and Eve with? It was coats and skins from animals. Go back and read in the Old Testament and you will understand the importance of the shedding of blood, the sacrificial shedding of blood. Even with Adam, God was foreshadowing the fact to humankind that one day it would take the blood of the sinless Son of God to cover our sin. From the very first parents on this earth, God laid it down that the sin and guilt of man would have to be borne by a sinless substitute, in this case, Jesus. But here was Abel. The difference between the two offerings of Abel and Cain was that Abel believed God. He approached God. He worshiped God exactly as God said, through the sacrifice of another, then the sacrifice of an animal. But Cain, however, Cain did not believe God. He did not accept God's word. He did not approach God through the sacrifice of another. How did Cain do it? He approached God through the sacrifice of what he could bring. His money, his earthly gift, his efforts and fruits of human works, all born of his dying hands. But Abel, in believing God, he recognized what the scripture said, that he was sinful, he was imperfect, and he could never be acceptable by a God who is perfect and holy. Cain, Abel, had powerful faith. Folks, the true hero, like Abel, will believe God at the power of his word, because he or she will understand the power in their life they possess with that kind of faith. That's a brief description. Sermons on Abel and Cain could take weeks, but that took about 2 or 3 minutes to share with you. Incredible words, but then there was a second man. Enoch, look at verses 5 and 6. I call this the deliverance of faith. Abel was the faith with power. Enoch was the faith to be delivered. Remember that story? Look at verses 5 and 6. By faith, it says, Enoch was taken away. In the Greek, metatithemi, literally translated, transformed, changed. He did not experience death because God took him away. For prior to his being taken away, he was approved by God since he had pleased God. Now verse 6. Now without faith, it is impossible to please God, for the one who draws near to him must believe that he not only exists then, now, and forever, and rewards those who seek him. That word metatithemi, the fact of a change, what's it mean? It means to cause to change with an emphasis upon the resulting change itself. Enoch was taken. He believed God. He believed that if he walked with fellowship with God day by day, God would look after him and care for him. Therefore, Enoch walked with God, and God did exactly what he said. God even conquered death for Enoch. And when Enoch was ready to go home to God, what did God do? God transferred, translated, changed him, and took him right out of this earth into heaven. Enoch's experience, the promise that makes it very clear to me and you, according to John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish. But Randy, we physically die. Your body physically dies, but who you are, your nephesh, your very being, never does. You just wake up in the arms of God. Can you imagine? No. Not yet, but one day we will. Let me tell you something about Enoch. His release from death was because of his faith. And long before even as a result, however, his faith, his translation, his change, his God taking him out was due to the fact that he lived a life pleasing to God. He showed his faith by his walk every day with God. And it's only through that kind of faith, the Bible says in verse 6 here, that you and I can please God. How's your daily walk? How's your faith? The true hero, as Enoch, will walk daily with God. And there's a third one I'm going to tell you about. It's found in verse 7. It's about Noah. You know Noah, but I refer to this one as the awe of faith. The awe of faith. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for saving his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir, the righteousness of which is according to his faith. What's my point? Noah believed God. End of sentence. The Bible says he had a godly fear. Now, can you imagine? God told Noah of the situation of the world, and God said to Noah exactly what he was going to do in flooding this earth, and God says, basically, Noah, build a big boat. It won't fit in your backyard, but find a way and do it. Now, I could just hear all of us in the 21st century, but Lord, look, I ain't got but less than half a quarter of an acre sitting on this corner lot. You know, how in the world am I going to build a boat that big? God said to build it. Noah built it. Can you imagine the ridicule that man must have faced when people walked by his house? And look, old crazy Noah's down there working on his boat. He's been working on it. Can you believe that? Why is he doing what he's doing? It's amazing when the rains came 40 days and they kept rising and rising and rising, and God had put the people in the ark according to exactly what the scripture says. I wonder what they thought of Noah then. You see, this world thinks we're crazy. Why? Because we believe this book from Genesis to Revelation. But ladies and gentlemen, one day, and I believe we are living on the edge of the edge of the edge. I believe we're living in that moment where God is fulfilling Scripture and has been fulfilling Scripture, and we are living in exciting times because we are able to see what God is doing and fulfilling. It doesn't take a scientist or anybody else. It just takes a man of simple faith to be able to see God is preparing this world. He's coming back. And personally, I believe the taking out, the rapturing of the church could be any moment. And as we sing in the old gospel songs, this could be the day. And I say to the Lord Jesus, even so, come quickly. I'm ready to go. Noah had that kind of faith. He was ready to go. He said, I'll build the ship. I'll build it exactly to your specifications. I will do exactly what you said. But Noah had a godly fear. Folks, we don't fear God anymore. We live as though most of us in this house are going to live for 150 years sometimes. We lack the fear that God just gave us the last breath we took in. And if he so chose to take it away from me or you, he would. I had a dear friend of mine at Southern Seminary, Dr. Clyde Francisco, one of our professors. Dr. Fran, you may know his son. He's done a lot of music over the years, Don Francisco. Dr. Fran always told us in class he wanted to die preaching. I'll never forget during my years at First Baptist Smyrna, one of my friends at Southern Seminary called me, or got out, he was coming to Smyrna to speak one day, Dr. Wade Rowett. Wade got off the plane in Atlanta, and the first words out of Wade's mouth to me was, Randy Fran's gone. We called him Fran, Dr. Fran. And I said, where was he? He says he was in the pulpit at First Baptist McRae, Georgia, the minute he gave the invitation, he went back. Just what he wanted. Let me tell you what, folks. We need to have some fear of God in us. God is not going to let us get away with our sin. And God made sure Noah understood, but Noah had a godly fear. He stood in awe of God. Wow. There's a fourth man I want to tell you about. His name's Abraham. You know the story. Look at verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited, verse 10, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Once again, the characteristic of all these people of faith is that they believe God. End of story. Period. But God gave Abraham an incredible call. He challenged him to be a witness for the living and true God. He challenged him to separate himself from the world and to follow God. He said, I want you to leave your home, your friends, your employment, and even your country. And if Abraham would do what God said, and he would obey God unquestionably, then God would do incredible things for him. That is exactly what Abraham did. I call this the obedience of faith. Three little verses, 8, 9, and 10. The obedience of faith. A person who has that kind of faith, the faith that we've been talking about all morning here, is a faith that believes God. Yes, he takes it one step farther. He makes sure he obeys God. It's a hopeful and an obedient faith, without a fact. The true hero, as Abraham, will obey God without question. But then I got to tell you about Sarah. And then I'm going to close. Wow. Sarah. Look at verses 11 and 12. The impossibility of faith. You see, faith believes the impossible. That faith I've been talking about of you veterans, that faith of believers and veterans, that faith is impossible faith. Look at 11, verse 11 of Hebrews 11. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful. She believed God, whom he promised. Therefore, verse 12, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Folks, Abraham's greatest demonstration of faith when he showed faith in God and promised that he would have an heir. Now get this, Abraham, according to Genesis chapter 17, was 100 years old. He's not a spring chicken. Sarah was 90. Genesis chapter 17, verse 17. Now, ladies, what about you? But I haven't heard of anybody in past recent or centuries, with the exception of Sarah, having a child at 90. But Sarah and Abraham shared the conviction, remember what we said in the beginning, God would be faithful to his promises, and from these two elderly Hebrew people who were as good as dead, the scripture says, what God did with them is he built a nation of people, teeming with his people with as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Sarah's faith was a faith that believed the impossible. I think of this little two-year-old that was hit by the branch in the storm. That family is believing the impossible. You have dealt with situations in your life where you have had no choice other than to believe in the impossible. And you've seen God work. Wow. The true hero, the true person of faith, will be like Sarah, who says, with God, nothing. Here it is. Five brief questions. As Abel, and he believed God at the power of his word, does your faith have power? Enoch walked daily with God. Does your faith lead you to know today that you are a child of God and that you're going to spend an eternity with heaven and Jesus? Not just hoping. The word help is hope. Translated in the New Testament, doesn't mean possibility. Remember, faith is the what? Reality. And as Noah, does your faith right now today stand in awe of a holy God, an omnipotent God who is capable of taking you out of here in the blink of an eye if he so desires? Don't mess with God. But we do. As Abraham, does your faith lead you to obey God? And as Sarah, when it's supposedly physically impossible for a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman to have a child, but God saw to it. Let me tell you what. If God can take care of that one and see to it, don't you think he can see to every little or big problem we got on this earth? I tell you, I say thank you, veterans. You possessed faith and you've shown that faith. You've protected this nation with your very lives. Now I want to ask you, as we in these days, and I believe these last days that God is allowing us to live on this earth, that we bring a nation back to God. We begin once again trying to teach this nation and train our people who have obviously turned their backs on a holy God. God, help us to bring back this nation to our motto, in God we trust. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for the significance of this day. Thank you for our veterans. But Lord, thank you for the faith of these men and women. Thank you, Lord, for the faith of a dad who looked at his son and taught him and grew him because of that faith. And thank you, Father, for these people in this room who have done exactly the same thing. Bless them on this day. And as we celebrate as a nation Veterans Day tomorrow, may there not a veteran pass by us that we not simply stop him and say, thank you for your service to this country. But now, Father, we are all indebted to you. We serve you. We commit and give our lives to you. And Father, we all today just say, thank you, Jesus. We love you, Father. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? Matthew and Daniel will be down here with me as well. Whatever needs you may have here at the front, as this becomes our altar of prayer, let's just say, yes, Lord. Would you sing that with us as Doug leads us right now?
I'll say yes.